I don't think there is any gold. I'm actually putting a bet on that the gold is zero in there, and there's probably an IOU sitting around with some old bloke or old guy sitting there on a chair saying, "Oh, you want the gold? Here's the note I was left over to give you."
Where's all the money? That's as good as money, sir. Those are IOUs.
Hey guys, Rafi here from the Endgame Investor, and today I've got Mayor Valinsky with me of DrivingMarkets.com. He will tell you what he's up to. He specializes in things that I don't really touch that much, including trading and geopolitics and how they affect markets. I do dabble in that sort of thing, but I'm really a monetary philosopher, so I'm excited to have Mayor with us to fill in the blanks that I don't really provide here. So, Mayor, how are you doing?
Yeah, great. How are you, Rafi?
Things are quiet, things are good. The weather is nice, and I'm waiting for the end game, and
It's
calmly.
pleasant and cold.
Yes. So, Mayor, tell us what you do, your website, your service, and what you're trying to teach people.
Okay, so my background is banking, investment banking and finance over the last 35 years. Got into a website developing contact with the public by accident. I wasn't dealing with so much with the Joe Public in investment banking and stocks and shares until someone sent me a media publication, and I thought, what a load of trash. I decided to do my own commentary on YouTube and on Instagram. And then this channel developed, and I called it Driving Markets because I was driving while talking about markets. So just called it Driving Markets, as one does. So, and also Driving Markets is a common term used by CNBC, CNN, Reuters, Bloomberg. You know, what is driving markets today? But it was just purely off the cuff as to I was driving along. I thought, you know what? Let's call it Driving Markets, driving while talking about markets. So I gave market commentary and opinions on which way the markets are going to be affected, not just economically, but also geopolitically, which way the wind is shifting globally, what the impact is of the Middle East, of different tensions, difficulty with shipping. I gave a whole commentary on the Russia-Ukraine crisis before the Russia-Ukraine crisis. So I said there was going to be a war between Russia and Ukraine. This was back in December 2021. And everyone belittled me and said, "There's not going to be a war. It's only saber rattling." I said, "You don't amass an army of that size on a border for saber rattling because it takes huge amounts of money and effort to amass the army. Never mind to stand them down." And lo and behold, there was a war and there was inflation. Biden blamed the Russians for inflation. Absolute load of trash. Inflation came about as other factors, not very little to do with Russia, but it was an appropriate scapegoat to let's blame Putin on a inflation. So overall, what we do is we've set up a whole program on how to understand financial markets. It's called Driving Markets. The website's Driving Markets. I run it. I run the operation with a load of other guys. And the idea is to give people exposure to real trading and how to understand what really is driving markets. And we run a mentorship program and all types of other things going on, one-to-ones, classes, courses, etc.
Well, cool. So I sent you a list of questions. I'm really looking for the answers to these questions because I don't have them myself. But I came up with another one that is related to the list that I sent you. So I want to start with that one. I'm going to show you a chart, and I haven't had anyone be able to answer this for me.
Okay.
So I'm going to share a screen here and show you a chart. This is the total gold COMEX stockpile in New York, right? And we see two huge spikes here, one in 2020. And one in late 2024, still c continuing to now. These hu enormous spikes, tens of millions of tons, sorry, tens of millions of ounces, excuse me, of gold just flooding in. Now, I understand mechanically why this is happening because the price of spot gold is cheaper in London than it is in New York. So you buy the spot in London, you sell it in New York, and you transfer the gold. I get the mechanics of it. I don't understand why it should happen. In 2020, it was related to the lockdowns or the shutting down of the global economy. Why is this happening now? Is it related to Trump and his tariffs and the trade wars and the EU breaking up with the US and all of the basically post-World War II order unraveling as we speak day by day? What is going on here? What is causing this, and what does it mean?
Okay, there's two exchanges that are global. As you said earlier on, you understand them. I'll just give your audience a little bit of background so they understand what's going on. There's the COMEX, which is Commodities Exchange in New York. That is a paper-driven exchange. It's paper delivery that literally, if you want to convert the paper into physical, you can, but generally, you're trading on the actual commodity itself. It's futures. It's paper. It doesn't have any real value unless you convert it.
Paper. Have you ever seen paper? Look at it. Smell it. I'm saving it for special trade.
Now, what's happened? Then you have the other exchange in London, which is the LBMA, the London Bullion Market Association. That is physical delivery of actual gold. So the physical delivery of gold has to have a correlation to the paper. It's quite simple. If someone realistically could convert that paper into physical, then there has to be a facility to deliver the physical element of that particular trade. Example for the audience that I buy $100 worth of gold and paper. So I now buy a contract that allows me delivery of gold in August, July, June, April, September, October, whatever. That's a futures price. And I will pay an element of margin on that, element of extra cover because of the future. I'm securing a contract in the future. And that contract needs to be backed up in principle by the physical gold. The problem is that there are more people now taking on the paper gold than the physical gold. They want the potential opportunity. They want to have that reserve security that they've got the paper in gold, which could convert into physical gold if needed. Now, with the demise of fiat currency, which is paper currency, and with the demise of confidence within paper currency, whether it's the euro, whether it's the dollar, whether it's the pound, and overall ascent of cryptocurrencies, people now want to back up their potential security, their potential confidence, their potential portfolio. They want to boost it up with paper gold in the event that they have to convert it to physical. Now, they could have that paper gold expire. The paper gold, which is the futures contract, still tracks the real price of physical gold. There's still a mechanism that tracks it. What's happened recently is the disparity. There's a breaking of the correlation between paper gold, for these intents and purposes, let's call it paper gold, and real physical gold. The physical gold is limited in quantity, and therefore, what used to take 4 to 5 days, sorry, even 3 to 4 days, for delivery of physical gold around the world now takes 4 to 5 weeks or longer, because to get the physical gold in place when there's a shortage of physical gold is now causing a stress between the commercial paper futures, paper gold, and physical. So there's more and more people are buying into the paper as a backstop, as a defensive measure, and then there's more conversion of paper into physical, which is pushing the price of the futures or the demand in the future paper higher. And that's why you have a spike from 2024. The spike from 2020 was not correlated to physical delivery. That was correlation of a crisis, economic crisis. The world's coming to a complete collapse during Corona, COVID, and therefore, let's get gold. So not everyone can physically hold the gold, so they buy the paper, which has got no value or no intrinsic value, the paper, because You don't have to security issue of storing it. You just put it in your trading account. Physical gold, you've got to have a depository to put it in, safety, security, and obviously insurance and other costs. So that's where you get the breakage. That's why COMEX has shot up, because of the number of transactions taking place on futures is now outpacing the actual physical gold available for delivery.
So could I say it this way? And correct me if I'm wrong. Most of the center of the world's physical gold is in London. COMEX has some physical gold. I mean, we see it has a few million ounces. Right now, it's about 40 million. But London is much bigger, so that when there is a panic, the center of physical gold goes from London to New York because there's less gold in New York than London.
Well, I wouldn't pay the center of physical gold is the UK. The center of the physical delivery is the London Bullion Market Association. That's the main exchange for physical delivery. So if people wanted to buy or sell gold, they'd go to London Bullion Market Association. The reason why there is 37 million troy ounces of gold in COMEX is because COMEX will have a lag. They will have some physical delivery of gold. Therefore, they'll always be holding some gold for delivery. That's absolutely true. But it's not the center of the world. LBMA is not the center of the world. It's an exchange used for delivery of gold, but it's a major exchange, probably the biggest. But I wouldn't say it's the center.
Okay, so it's the biggest mechanism for physical gold delivery then.
Correct, correct.
Right. Okay. So from here I wanted to go into the questions that I sent you beforehand. The first one is that it looks like Trump, with the help of Ron Paul, who was the guy who woke me up to Austrian school economics and libertarianism in general, it looks like they're going to actually audit Fort Knox and the Fed. So what do you think they're going to find, and what do you think happens to gold and the dollar if they either don't find everything that they should find, or they find multiple claims on the gold that's actually there? Or do you think this
Okay.
is just a fun, silly story to just distract us and it doesn't really matter?
Okay, so I don't think there is actually any gold in Fort Knox.
Fort Knox. Ha! It's for tourists.
But I am considered a maverick and a cavalier on that particular thought process. Most analysts do believe there is gold in Fort Knox, which, even though it might be depleted and small, as to what the conventional thought pattern is, that there is gold or there's huge amounts, I don't think there is any gold. I'm actually putting a bet on that the gold is zero in there, and there's probably an IOU sitting around with some old bloke or old guy sitting there on a chair saying, "Oh, you want the gold? Here's the note I was left over to give you."
See this? That's a car. 275,000. Might want to hang on to that one.
That's my own personal opinion. It is maverick, it is exceptional. It's not the general thought of the capital markets and people like colleagues work at the banks, but I believe there's no gold. So I think they're going to find zero gold. What will happen if they find zero gold? We'll come on to the Fed in a second. So the audit will be either if there is gold, how much gold, where's it gone, how come it's depleted over the last 10, 20, 30 years, 50 years, whatever. Maybe if there's no gold, they'll just say there's no gold. And one of two things could happen, in my opinion. Either they'll replenish the gold, and that's why there's been a stress on the physical delivery from London to New York, because physical gold is being delivered under the Biden administration to the tune of billions of dollars. That's one opinion. And if they have to replenish Fort Knox with the gold that they claim is not there or was there, then that would push up the price of the LBMA spot gold, and therefore you could end up having gold at $4,000 an ounce. Just get my mental thought process in line, and then you could have a drop in the US dollar. Because the confidence that there's no gold in Fort Knox would knock the US dollar, therefore the US dollar would fall, probably significantly, if there was a revelation that there's no gold there. If there is gold there, then there's a relief. The dollar would strengthen and there wouldn't be a particular crisis, but that would not justify why there's so much gold being flown over or shipped over to the US in the short period of time that's been shipped over. Now, the other option you got on there is that there's no gold, and then Trump comes along and says, you know what? Screw the gold. We're not interested in gold. We're going to now back it up with Bitcoin.
Malkovich, 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 Malkovich.
Bitcoin is so fluid, then you don't need a Fort Knox. You could change Fort Knox into a real estate, another Trump Tower, no doubt, or a museum, whatever the case may be. And you could have Bitcoin replacing the Fort Knox gold holding. That would then send Bitcoin up to about $120,000 a coin. And that could be a mechanism. Again, a maverick thought. However, I do believe on looking at the extremities when you're looking at investments and assets and how they're going to play out. That does not cover the Fed. That's just on Fort Knox. The Fed is a mixture of reserve banks, federal banks. You've got presidents there. When they come to do a audit as to where the Fed's money's gone, the money has gone mainly to the banks. So what happens is within Washington or within the states, you've got the main capital markets banks, the Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Chase, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo, all the major Wall Street banks are in bed with the Fed. So the Fed park their money. So, for example, let's say the Fed issues a $100 billion bond. They've got to park it somewhere. The Fed doesn't have a bank account. There's no bank account for the Fed. The Fed has a bank account at JP, at Goldman Sachs, at Merrill Lynch, at Morgan Stanley. They have a bank account. So they park the money there. Lo and behold, if I parked in your bank account $10 billion, but I don't need the money straight away, you'd have a heyday. You could say, okay, I'm not going to need the $10 billion today. I can use the $10 billion to boost up my balance sheet, do trades, make some money off it, interest, et cetera, et cetera. So an audit on the Fed will see a collaboration, intense collaboration between the Wall Street banks and the Fed. They're both in bed together. The Fed needs Wall Street, and Wall Street needs the Fed, and that's why whenever it comes to economic decisions, then often Wall Street will be involved to a degree. To a degree.
So do you think these audits are actually going to happen, or are they just populist nonsense to get his voters some, throw some scraps of meat?
No, they're going to happen.
They're going to happen.
Yeah. Trump has come in on a platform that he is going to uncover the deep state. The deep state, as far as Trump and the administration is concerned, is Washington, defense, non-government offices, finance, the Fed, the banks, the full works. So he's going to continue, whether it's through Elon Musk or through another body, they're going to continue doing audits, and they're going to continue revealing some ridiculous spending that will shock your audience.
All right. I mean, I can't be shocked anymore. I'm surprised, but I'm not shocked. It's a hard deic to make between being shocked and surprised. But I'm not shocked by anything anymore.
I have seen a world that no man should see.
As much as I
A
can
shock
see.
is when you unexpect something, and surprise is when you expected. You just, okay, I didn't expect it to be that bad.
So yeah, I'll be surprised. But I mean,
Wait, by the way, Rafi, just to be clear, the US is doing an audit, but Europe hasn't done an audit. Deutsche Bank owes more money than the German government. The UK is spending money as if there's no tomorrow on migrants and complete social benefits. No one's doing an audit there. They haven't done audits on the discovery of the politicians wasting the UK's taxpayers. So audits across Western governments, we're not talking about corrupt African or Chinese or South American, Western governments are supposed to be upright, supposed to be moral, supposed to be ethical, supposed to be virtuous. They know exactly what human rights are because they are the role model of human rights
Yeah,
over the centuries.
that's a
They are
joke, but yeah.
their persona to look up to. Therefore, they aren't doing an audit and they are as bad as the US.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Europe is a few years behind the US in terms of this sort of revolution. They're not yet there yet. I mean, they could be pushed there. It depends. I mean, we're seeing a little bit in Romania and the uprising in the political uprising in Germany with the AfD and other things like the Geert Wilders. So we're seeing some of it. Yeah.
Hungary, Poland, Germany. You've got maybe Romania. I haven't heard Romania so much, but you've definitely got a waking up of the what we call the common sense parties that are now deemed extreme right. So a lot of
Right.
common sense parties that they might have a element of fascist or element of xenophobic or anti-Semitism or anti this, anti that. Yes, there will be an element like in just like in the socialist parties. You've got an element of communism and let the state control everything. You're going to get that across all parties, but there is a waking up of common sense in Western Europe where that's disappeared because nothing makes sense anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So you said that liquidity is easing and you expect a booming market for the next 4 years. What measures are you looking at regarding liquidity? Because from what I'm seeing, quantitative tightening, the Fed just reducing the monetary base is continuing even now. And the volume of repo transactions is now, it was 2.4 trillion what I wrote here. Now it's 2.5, but I think that's because we're at a month end. Basically, we're running out of reserves to support the repo market, and the repo market is the daily switching between treasury securities and cash every night, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger with
Overnight
a
funding.
smaller and smaller monetary base. So, what measures of liquidity are rising, and what happens when the repo market doesn't have enough dollars to grease its wheels?
Okay, so it all depends on which angle we're coming at. If you want to go down the conventional way of providing liquidity to the market, that's issuing of debt bonds and issuing liquidity to the banks for the flow of money to flow. And reducing taxation to allow businesses to have more money in their pocket. What's happening today is that there's going to be a cutting of debt, so there's going to be less money going to be issued under Trump administration, or if it is going to be issued, it's going to be for infrastructure and industrial repair because the US is in disrepair and needs huge amounts of investment. So that's number one. Number two, there'd be a relocation of mega companies into the US and foreign companies coming into the US, for example, Volkswagen, Audi, are going to be opening up a huge car factory in the US to challenge and get over the issue of tariffs on Europe. So you're going to have a relocation of companies that are then going to produce jobs, productivity, tax, and revenue overall. But where is the real money going to come from? As far as, sorry, where is the extra money going to come from as far as US is concerned? Well, Trump is a deal maker. Deal maker means he'll give the green light on mergers and acquisitions in the banking sector, pharmaceutical sector, defense sector, industrial sector, and any other sector that I've missed out, telecom sector, IT sector. He'd allow the a merger of huge companies. And when you get a merger, an acquisitions sector booming that produces hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue, in excess revenue, because they will then be releasing money, capital through the acquisition of a partner company or predator takeover target, whichever case you want to be. So it's going to come from mergers and acquisitions, it's going to come from foreign investment. It's going to come from reduced taxation to allow the small business and the medium-sized business to flourish. And that is going to produce liquidity, not tariffs. Tariffs will only produce around about $900 billion worth of revenue. And yet, the inland revenue at the moment produces 2.2 trillion. So there will be a shortfall between tariffs and the inland revenue income that the US is benefiting from at the moment. However, as those companies give up on the tariffs and move to the US, that will produce money and there will be plenty of liquidity in the next 4 years.
Don't you need the Fed to buy bonds for this to happen? Because if we're in a fiat system where money is on one side, I mean, dollar is on one side, and the other side of the dollar is the issued debt. If DOGE is going to cut spending, and you're going to have less government debt, you're going to have less of a money supply. So where is all this liquidity coming from if the money supply itself is shrinking?
Okay, so you don't need a Fed. You don't need a central bank. Central banks were set up to manage interest rates and protect the currency, in this case, protect the US dollar. They've not managed interest rates and they've not protected the dollar. So the Fed is redundant. The whole mechanism of issuing debt to allow liquidity is a misnomer. You don't need to issue debt to provide liquidity. What you need is productivity to increase, real productivity, not government jobs. We're talking about real productivity to increase, real exports to increase, have foreign currency and the demand on the dollar to rise in terms of a reserve currency and overall demand, because you've got to buy dollar-denominated goods. And the revenue coming in from higher productivity could end up over a period of time compensating for the Fed or the no need for the Fed, because the taxation system that has been proposed under Trump is to do away with the IRS and make a 5% global tax on every transaction, which means you're capturing every transaction within the US rather than just income related transactions. So do you need a bond related Fed? You're going to need short term, medium term, to continue the old mechanism till it can be faded out. Is it going to happen? Well, after the end, it's not going to happen within 4 years. If Trump or the Republicans were to get in for another 4 years and there was a consensus of opinion to get rid of the Fed, if they got rid of the Fed, you could end up replacing it with a general taxation system, to have a taxation office and increase productivity.
Doesn't what you're saying, I understand what you're saying, and I agree you do not need a central bank. However, to say that, at least from my perspective, is like telling a heroin addict you don't need heroin. That's true, it's bad for you, but I mean, there or an alcoholic, like a someone really, really alcoholic, that if he suddenly stops drinking, he can die of delirium tremens or something. So yeah, we don't need a central bank, but the Fed owns like $6 trillion in bonds. What happens to all those bonds if we just say, okay, no more central? How do you wind that down? How is it even possible without going on to a completely different monetary system, having the entire bank system, which is also stuffed with this debt, collapse on its own, and then just restructuring everything, which is what I want to see, but it would create such monetary chaos and anger such the most powerful people in the world. How can it be done other than just a complete collapse and restructuring from the ground up?
Right. So first of all, the destruction would not be done under one day. It would have to take 10 years to do, at least. Okay.
Okay.
15 years. Trump's not going to be successful doing it in 4 years. Sorry, let's rephrase that. He may not be successful in 4 years by doing it, because Trump is pretty fast worker. There has to be a slow exit from the bond market, the bond issuing market, and replacing it with a rising productivity market in the US. If we've got more and more companies coming to the US, higher productivity, higher full employment, whereby you've got revenues coming in not only from income, but you've got revenues coming in from sales of goods, taxation of goods, you can slowly reduce the 6 trillion requirement that the Fed's holding, redeem those bonds, lower the interest payment that the US is paying, and get a more balanced system. What are we talking about here, Rafi? We're talking about balancing your household budget. You can't go one day and draconian say to your kids, no breakfast, no lunch, no supper, you're eating nothing because we don't have the money to actually feed you. Well, Hasba Khalilah, God forbid, you know what will happen. Okay. But what will happen here is that you'll slowly adapt and ease away of one area to allow the budget to flourish in another area. And that's what's happening in the US. The US has been mismanaged for too many years. I can't even put a number on it, but it's got involved in ridiculous defense projects. It's got involved in ridiculous situations, whether it's Ukraine at $350 billion, according to the argument, Zelensky versus Trump at the comical soap reality show yesterday, or they've got involved in interference or a waste of money. They need now to balance the budget. Now, if they find that their budget is 10 trillion out of sync, that will take probably about 10 years with Elon Musk plowing away at cost to put it back into sync. However, the liquidity will come from increased productivity. If you have increased productivity, you've got an overall balanced household. Same with yourself. If you say, right, kids, we are now not going to eat cornflakes every day, we'll only have it 3 times a week, but you're cutting your costs and increasing your revenue, you've got a balanced budget.
Faced with the possibility of the wind down, the gradual wind down, 10, 15 years that you think would be healthy, and the possibility of the entire system just collapses in on itself, all debt gets erased, and we start again on a new monetary standard. My idea would be gold and silver by the market, not necessarily statutorily, but the statutes follow the market, and I believe gold and silver are money. And we'd return to that. With that possibility, or 10 to 15 years of a wind down of the debt system, what do you think is actually going to happen? And do you ha and the last question is, can you provide me with with a historical example of a debt-based monetary system that gradually unwound and returned to sound money? Has it ever happened
Okay,
without a complete collapse?
I cannot provide an example of a debt-ridden system that's replaced by a gold-backed system or a non-debt system. I don't have any examples of that off the top of my head. I think what will happen is that the Fed, as long as the Fed has a no gold-backed currency, they are free to print as much money as they want because there's no limit to the printing. They're unlimited. They can print whatever they want. The minute it's gold backed, then you are limited because each dollar has to be backed by some piece of gold somewhere. So the ideal setup would be that they discover no gold in Fort Knox. Trump goes, then decides, you know what, enough's enough. We're now going to gold back the dollar. All he has to do is just say that. Doesn't have to actually do it. Just has to say the dollar is now gold backed. He then purchases an amount of gold and gives the overall impression globally that the dollar is gold backed. No one's going to exchange the dollar for gold. So you're not going to go to the bank and say, can I have $100 of gold, please? Here's my $100 bill. But they want the confidence that that is the case. Immediately, that would make the Fed redundant. They could not print dollar notes. That would push inflation down to zero because the Fed generates inflation for lots of reasons, to eat away at government debt and also to have asset values rising as far as they're concerned. And therefore, ideally, what you want is a gold-backed currency in 5 years or this year or 2 years, gold-backed currency, no Fed, low inflation, and confidence in the US dollar would immediately have people investing in the US, and therefore you would not need start issuing a load of bonds because you've had investment in the US.
Okay, so you think basically that Trump has to back the dollar with a certain amount of gold, say this is the exchange rate, and then nobody will challenge that, and then they'll feel better about it, and then things will be a little shaky, but they'll basically be okay from there.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to say we're going to back it with a little bit of gold, fully backed. So we are going to
Okay.
fully back the gold. How are you financially going to do that? We are going to issue debt to buy the gold. So you've now got a proper solid asset against a debt where at the moment the debt is based on confidence only. Here you've got an asset-backed debt. So if you go to the bank and say, I'd like to borrow $500,000, and the bank says, what assets do you have? So I've got a $5 million house. It's no risk. Zero risk to the bank. Say, hey, buddy, you don't pay us back. Your house is gone. So that's what you could do. Or you could say, you know what, we're going to 50% back it with gold. 20%, as you said, 70%, 100%, whichever the case may be. All they have to do is give over the general guidelines, impression that they are backing it with gold, which they will do initially. Okay, make the dollar gold back. That will immediately devalue all the other currencies globally. Everyone will rush into the dollar. The dollar will up in value. People will invest in the US. As far as Trump concerned, you've got a winning equation. Where's the downside? The downside on that is that there might be not enough gold for Trump to do it, and therefore the traders might sell off the dollar on the back that it's not really feasible. But you do have the number two economy, China, which is trying to back the yuan with gold. The difference is no one trusts the yuan, but everyone trusts the dollar more than the yuan. So Trump would be in good mind to do that. Brings us back to Fort Knox, where they could actually just lie, which they might do, and say there's plenty of gold in Fort Knox, and we're going to use that to back the dollar. Maybe.
All right. Well, we do have different eschatological views of the monetary system, where this all ends up, where it leads. Some part of me hopes that you're right. I don't see how they're going to unwind this in the way that you describe. Maybe you're right. None of us have ever been here before, so I guess we'll see. Either way, I think we would both recommend our followers to have some amount of gold and silver for safety, because
Absolutely.
this entire currency system is very, very unstable, and it's wobbling along with geopolitics and everything that we've known since post World War II. Is there anything that you want to say before we close?
No, I think overall the economy under Trump will be very positive. The markets will be very volatile and continue to be volatile. He comes out with wacky statements. So every week is going to shock the market with something. So you have to be aware of where you're trading and what you're trading. If you want to have any type of input or need some guidance or mentorship, then go to drivingmarkets.com, and we've got plenty of plans on there, programs on there to help you out. And I'm sure Rafi's got my number. If anyone contacts you direct, I'm more than happy to answer questions.
Yes, I do. All the links will be in the description below. Thanks so much, Mayor, for coming on. And I hope to speak to you again soon. Good Chodesh, good Vach, and see you soon.
All the best. Take it easy.